Om Shanti. There was once a man and he was in search of truth. So he was going from one place to another. He was visiting many gurus, going to different pilgrimage places, but he would not get satisfied. Once, whilst he was searching, he came across an old man. This old man was sitting under a tree. The old man was in his 60s. So this young man went to that person and he asked him, "What is the road to truth? I am searching truth and I am not finding it." The old man said, "I can definitely tell you about a person who can enlighten you." And he gives the details of that person, his would-be guru, and he tells him that you will find your master sitting under a tree, and he gives the details of that tree, minute details of that tree, and he also gives the minute detail of the master, how the master would look, what would be his robes, how that tree would be, the trunk, the leaves, and everything about the tree. So this man, this young man, gets very happy and immediately leaves that place and rushes and goes to find out that guru. But this old man also tells him one thing, that your master would be very old. Maybe if you take my example, he might be 30 years older than me. So this young man sets off his journey and he goes, and for the next 30 years he keeps on searching his master, but he could not find. He knew where that master is. He knows the exact description of his master. He knows that his master would be sitting under a tree. So he is searching both that tree also and that master also. But for 30 long years, he keeps on searching that person, that tree, but he could not find. So at long last, he thinks, "Let me return back. I have unnecessarily wasted my time. 30 years is such a long time. I had destroyed my business, my everything, and I went for this search." So he decides, "Okay, now I can't continue anymore. Enough is enough. I have to return back." So he decides to go back to his home, and whilst returning, he meets that earlier old man who had told him about his master. And as he approaches that person, he finds that the tree under whom this old man is sitting, it is exactly the same tree which he had described 30 years back. And this old man is exactly the same master which he had described. So he approaches that old man and says, "Is this the same tree? And are you the same person who told me to search the master, and you yourself are the master? Why did you waste my 30 years when you were the same person?" He says, "You were in such a hurry. You had no time even to listen to what I am telling. You had no time even to see that this is the same tree where I was sitting, and I was the same master. You were just wanting to search. You were in so much hurry, so you had no time even to look at the tree, look at the master, and you just rushed. You have rather wasted my time. I am waiting for you for 30 years. Now I am 90 year old. And I was the person who was to become your guru. So we are going to have today's discussion on one topic which has come in next Sunday's Murli, that is Hari, Vari and Kari. When we hurry, we actually forget to see things as they are. This is a sanskar of hurrying. So, hurry. Second is worry. We keep on worrying about so many things. And third is curry. Curry means, it denotes oily diet, fatty food, or rather overeating. These all three things lead to unhealthy lifestyle. There are, in psychology, they describe two types of personality. Type A personality, type B personality. Type A means always in stress, always in tension, always worried, always thinking about future, anxious, stressed. Type B are calm, quiet, cool, maintaining equipoise, that equanimity of the mind. So, curry. Curry means curry. Sambar. So, let's explore this topic. Starting with hurry. What happens when we hurry? What happens when we worry? And what happens when we eat greasy diet, oily diet? All the three things sabotage, destroy our health. First of all, we come to hurry. Why do we hurry? Where are we rushing? What do you want? Why there is so much hurry? We always want to rush and do things. Once a centipede is a small animal with 100 legs. He was going for a morning walk. It was a sunny day and centipede was enjoying the sunny day and that morning walk. When suddenly a frog, who was a sort of a philosopher, and when that frog saw that centipede, he was amazed. He started thinking how the centipede walks. Which leg he puts first? There he has got 100 legs. Which next? And which next? So he was filled with amazement and he went to the centipede and said, "Uncle, how do you decide? Which leg to give first and which leg to give next and which next? You have 100 legs. How do you manage these things?" The centipede, who was a little old man now, he said, "Even I did not think of this any time before. You are the first person who told me that I have 100 legs. I don't know. But I will now try to count and I will try to see how I walk." And from that day, that centipede starts walking and he tries to think which leg I am keeping first and which leg next. And suddenly he wobbles and he trips and he falls down. And then he starts thinking, "I have been walking like this all my life, I never thought of it. And where from this frog has come and given me this question?" This is Aesop's story. Aesop was a very great storyteller. He has written this fable. It's frog. So he goes to the frog and says, please don't ask this same question again to any of my brother centipedes. Because of you, I fell down. The moment this question entered my mind and I decided to count and think, a sort of worry entered me, a question entered me, and I couldn't find any solution to your question, to this question, and I fell down. Many questions enter the mind. Probably they are not necessary. And we keep or we waste our time in searching the answers, which probably we never get. It's best that they remain unanswered. From where this stream of worry starts? Where is the starting point? It is some question, some unsolved mystery. Life is not a question to be solved, but a mystery to be lived. We have to live this mystery, not keep on solving it all the time. There are many scenes in this drama which are so beautiful. We need to enjoy them rather than unfolding the mysteries, thinking of unfolding them, trying to know why they happened. Not needed. There are many scenes in this drama which are just for enjoyment. Be a mute spectator of this drama. Coming back to hurry, the very first question is, why do we hurry? Because we want to be on time. Because we want to rush. Yeah? Time is less, that's why we want to hurry. I'm talking of hurrying as a sanskar throughout the day. There are people who keep on hurrying. There are people who keep on hurrying. They get up late and then they rush for Amrit Vela. The moment they get up, they find it is already late. So rush. One. They have a train and they are busy with other things and then they see the time, watch, and then they rush. So gradually this sanskar of hurrying, rushing, this habit becomes a deep-rooted sanskar and we cannot get rid of this. Probably we have given so many commitments, probably we have so many projects to finish, probably we have so many deadlines to meet, probably we have to finish so many targets. Yeah? No time management. So all this thing cause worry. And you know, hurry. And this hurry is a state of the mind where worry comes, anxiety comes, stress comes, tension comes. So all these things are interlinked. Stress, tension, anxiety, worry, hurry, everything. We become anxious. We can't sleep at night. We have palpitation, uneasiness, we are ill at ease, we perspire, we feel sick, everything happens. Rather than now thinking about the different causes of hurry, which we all of us know, let us come to hurry management. How do you manage hurry? The very first principle is, decide to live a slow-paced life. There is no need to hurry. There is no need to rush. Lao Tse is one of the greatest of the Zen masters. He had said a beautiful thing. Look at the nature. Nature never rushes. And yet everything is accomplished with so much calmness. Such unhurried pace of life is a sign of yogi life. So first thing is to reduce your commitments. To reduce your commitments. Don't get over committed. because that will cause you to rush, to hurry. Reduced projects, reduce meetings, reduce multitasking, reduce this wild rush, this wild chase for something which is so much ill-defined. You have to slow down the pace. Proper time management. Probably we are not knowing the basic principles of time management. Few days back, we had discussed about management of time. Meeting deadlines, time boxing. Make a timetable first. Second is time boxing. Third is organizer. We should organize our life. We should aim to reach before time. Suppose we have to catch a train, we should be before time. Suppose we have to finish a target, let us finish it one day before. Otherwise you have to rush, otherwise you have to hurry. Then there is something known as time buffer. What is time buffer? Time buffer is give gap, some interval to yourself. There should be some time gap between one work and another work. You should not try to cram everything into your daily schedule. Give time buffer. There should be buffer. Another is disconnecting yourself from people for some time, disconnecting yourself from all the digital world. If you are too much engaged in all the social media, then you don't get time, then you have to rush, then you have to hurry, then there is a palpitation, pounding of the heart. Your mind becomes confused and confounded. We don't want that. So let's slow down the pace by reducing everything. A good time management, good time buffering, good time boxing is needed. Prioritize things. Delegate things to others. Don't think that I have to do everything. You have to distribute your work. You can give to others. Delegate things. Prioritize things. And yes, most important thing, if suppose you are not able to do a particular thing on a particular day, there is no need to create so much fuss about it. You can do it next day. Don't pay so much attention to unimportant things. It's good that you do things on time, but it may so happen that you're not able to do. That time it's okay. You can postpone it for the next day. So these are some of the things which we have to do so that we do not unnecessarily hurry in life, because hurrying doesn't lead us anywhere. A beautiful planning of the day, dividing the tasks, that is also there. So all these things we had discussed in time management class. Here also, make a aim that what are the reasons why do I hurry and where do I hurry, where I have to rush. Keep the calendar in front, keep the watch in front. So these are few principles of time management. See, why do I hurry? Probably this has become a sanskar, a deep-rooted sanskar, and I must analyze it, research it, and remove it. That is hurry. Second is worry. We are worried whole day. What are Brahmins worried about? That is another question. Baba has said to us, be a carefree emperor. Give all worries to me. Do not worry. Do not think that you are there. When there is, probably we are thinking, I am doing everything. That instrument thing is lacking. I am instrument. That's it. He is doing. It is his work. He knows better. When we become the doer. That time, worry comes. When we are not planning time properly, that time worry comes. When we are continuously thinking about the past events, worry comes. When we are too much anxious about the future, we are worried. When we are attached to something, that time we worry. There are different theories of worry, different causes of worry. It may vary from person to person. Every person is worried about different things. We are worried about our deadlines. And especially Brahmins, probably they might worry. Baba has said that you should worry about effort. You have to do good pushat. You should be worried about this. That is the only thing you should worry about to become Satopradhan. But instead of that, we are worried about so many other things. The cause of worry may be financial. The cause of worry may be service itself. Service is for enjoyment, for keeping us happy. But instead of that, when it becomes a taxing service, when it becomes, we become burdened with service, then that is no service at all. That itself is the cause of our worry. Other people may be the cause of our worry. Let's analyze this worry thing and try to remove it. Try to work on it. We need to work on each and everything in life. Before it becomes natural. Otherwise, it is difficult. First is to diagnose that I am worried. And then we think of what are the ways out. One is whenever there are problems, we worry. We have questions, what if? We need to change our approach towards problem solving. There is a good story about worry tree. There was one man who was a carpenter and his whole day he was unhappy. Everything which happened in the day upset him and he was little worried. When he reached his home, the person, his owner, had come to drop him by car. The owner saw that before he enters the room, he took out the bag and hung that bag on one tree. And then he went inside happily. He was enjoying playing with his children and talking with his wife. So this owner called him back and asked him, "What did you hung there?" He said, "That bag was an imaginary bag that was carrying all my day's worry. And before entering my house, I always make it a point that I hang that bag on that tree and then I enter. And next day when I come back, I take back that bag. But I find that the number of worries are less now." So he invented this new methods. So this stretched mind, this worried mind, this stressed mind, we need to reduce, de-stress it. To find out, we have to devise our own methods. How do we solve problems? What is my approach towards problem solving? There are people who write down, rather than going to bed just like that, write down all the things and then go to the bed. Probably by morning when you get up, you get the answer. That is also one of the practices. Because if you keep on worrying for a long time, it becomes a habit, so that becomes a chronic worry. And that is the first symptoms of generalized anxiety disorder. Anxiety depressive disorder. Gradually depression sets in. Constant worrying, a stretched mind. And then the depression sets in. You get anxious for everything. You get anxious for everything in life. There is no peace, no respite, no repose. Just rushing. On hurrying on one side, hurrying and worrying, both things go together. And you don't achieve anything. This Brahmin life is a life of celebration. This Brahmin life is a life to congratulate everybody, each other, whole day. And to bid farewell. Not just to vices, but to worry, to hurry. Also, to all the previous sanskars. This is another homework from next Sunday's Murli. List of things where we have to bid farewell. bye bye, tata, sayonara. What are those things which we should give up? We should say bye bye. And what are the things we should celebrate, or we should say congratulations to each other and to oneself? And last is about curry. Curry means oily food, greasy food, uncontrolled diet, overeating, spicy diet. A yogi's diet should be as simple as possible. All the salty diet, all the spicy diet, all the oily diet, they make the observance of celibacy difficult. The simpler the diet, the more stable the mind, calmer the mind. And otherwise, on medical ground also, when you eat lot of oily foods, gas, acidity, reflux, belching, high cholesterol, atherosclerosis, heart problems, stroke, heart attacks, so many things happen. Oily allergies, all the oils for that matter. One question is, did deities eat oil? Deities, not necessarily that 36 types of varieties of fruits, food has got oil. You go to the history of oil. Oil, how it started. You go to the history of sugar, how it started. Did deities eat sugar? Did deities eat, drink coffee, tea? What is the history of tea? What is the history of coffee? Is it really required? This is just a question. I am not making any claims. This is just a question put forth for churning. Think on that. Call of time. So, all the oily food come under the category of rajasic food. Food are divided into three categories: sattvic food, rajasic food, and tamasic food. Food that excites passion. That time, it is rajasic food. So, let's bid farewell to hurry, worry, and curry, and make our life full of merry. That's what Baba wants, to be happy all the times. But we have to bid farewell. We have to say tata, bye bye to all the worries of life, all the stresses and tensions of life. Then only we will be able to be what we should be. Absolutely contented life. Life full of bliss, happiness, peace. A slow paced life. Let us not count the number of legs and which leg is coming first and which leg is next. There is no need. It is going on automatically. You don't have to think. He is there sitting above. He is doing things through me. If I start thinking what to speak, what to do, probably I am worried. The disciples of Jesus Christ come to him and they ask him, you told us to go and spread your message everywhere, but what we will speak? We don't know what to speak. We have never given speeches. He says, go and stand. It shall be given unto you at that hour. At that time it shall be given unto you what to speak. So don't worry. Don't burden your mind. Come ye all that labor, and I shall give thee rest. Come ye all that labor, you all who are laboring unnecessarily. Come to me, I will give you rest. Carry me, my yoke is mild. Carry me, my yoke is mild. So, let's bid farewell. Tata, bye bye, sayonara to hurry, worry, and curry. And let's celebrate. Let's give congratulations to oneself and congratulations to other for this life full of merriment. Om Shanti.